We want to thank you sincerely for coming along to the service tonight. We welcome you all in the Saviour's great name. We're going to sing together the hymn 678 as we commence the service. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. So 678, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Just lift our hearts to the Lord together in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we seek thy face. We come to thee in our Saviour's great name. Thank Father of those words that we considered a little in the message last Lord's Day evening, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Lord, we rejoice tonight that the way is open for us. We come pleading the Saviour's precious blood. We're glad that we can enter right into the holiest. What a privilege that is. What a marvel that we can come right into thine immediate presence. We pray, Father, that we'll never take that privilege for granted. We pray that even now as we're bowed in prayer, that we'll be conscious that we're in the very presence of the sovereign God of all the universe. I want to pray, Father, that you'll even solemnize our hearts as we come to your house, come to worship thee this Sabbath evening. Remember that your word says that you're to be had in fear of all them that are about you. You're to be had in reverence. And Lord, we want to pray even that reverence might mark our lives, that it might mark these meetings. We pray, Father, that there'll ever be that reverent attitude, that reverent outlook as we come to your house and handle your word and come to the things of God. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless the meeting tonight, especially in the words that we have sung together. Our prayer is that you'll bless to the saving of the lost, to the saving of precious souls. Lord, we thank you for all in the gathering tonight that know the Saviour, for each one that can simply say, I'm saved by the sovereign grace of God. What a statement that is, Father, as we think of even how it affects our destiny for eternity. But Lord, it's our prayer that each one in the meeting tonight, and every one in our families, every member of this church and congregation, would be able to say that they're saved. Lord, our prayer is that you'll bless our work and our witness, the ministry of your word in every service, in every department of this church, even to that end, to the saving of the lost. Lord, we pray that there'll be no family circle in this church that will be broken by and by. Lord, our desire is to have all of our children, all of our entire family members with us on that great day when we stand before thee, that on the day when the roll is called up yonder, Lord, that every one of them will be there. We pray that you'll ever give us a concern for our families, for our loved ones. We remember the words of the Saviour to the man of Gadara, go home and tell your friends and your family what great things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion upon thee. And Lord, we pray, give us that burden, renew that vision, even of reaching our own families, our own loved ones, with the message of the gospel. Lord, we're conscious of the teaching of your word, that all our efforts and all our labours for Christ are to begin at home. We're to witness in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and the very uttermost ends of the earth. We ask thee, Father, to remember the home witness here in this city of Armagh, this very needy city of Armagh. We're conscious, Father, of many in this city that never speak about being saved, not just the ungodly, but even those that are religious, those that go to a place of worship from week to week. And Lord, our prayer is, our earnest prayer, there'll be many saved across this city. There'll be many saved from the depths of sin. And we want to pray, Father, that there might be many in this city too that will be saved from their false religion. We want to pray, Father, there'll be those saved from the cults as well. Remember the Apostle Paul, and we think of all that he was trusting in, all that was a false hope for him. He was seeking to establish his own righteousness, and yet you met him and saved him that day on the Damascus Road. You took him up and used him greatly, mightily, powerfully in your service. And Lord, we want to ask thee to come and display the same power again in this church and in this city. Lord, come and save souls. We ask of thee. Your word says, we have not because we ask not. So we want to make that our very clear, specific, and earnest request, Father, on this Sabbath evening. We ask thee to come and save in our meetings. We ask thee, Father, to save the children, to save the young people, to save the adults, to save those that are older, those that have been in our meetings for many years, heard clear, Spirit-anointed preaching of the gospel, and yet have been hardened against the things of God. Lord, we ask that even in their old age that you'll be gracious and be merciful, even as you were to Nicodemus in Jerusalem those many years ago. How can a man be born when he is old? We rejoice that you saved him. He was born again, even in old age. Lord, we ask thee to be gracious and merciful. Come upon us in blessing in this church. Come upon us in salvation, blessing. Lord, we ask of thee, remember the broadcasts of this church that go out, the live broadcasts from week to week. Thank you, Father, for enabling us as a congregation to minister beyond our own city and community, even all across the earth. Lord, we ask that it will bear fruit. We pray that there will be those that will be saved through the media ministry of this church. We ask thee, Father, to bless the outreach team, the plans that are being made to recommence on Tuesday week. We ask that the hand of God will be upon that this summer from the very commencement. We pray, Father, that every week that there will be a strong number that will go forth to sow the seed. We thank you for the fruit that is born already, Father. But we want to pray that souls will be saved, that there will be those that will read the literature, that there will be those that will be spoken to through that literature. We want to pray, Father, it will be the means of bringing many into this church, even that they might hear the word of God, that they might learn further the teaching of the scriptures in relation to salvation and eternity. We ask thee, Father, to remember the radio broadcasts on Radio Star Country on the Wednesday afternoons. Bless all the churches, all the ministers involved, the Reverend Curran, as he puts those programs together. We do praise thee, Father, for opportunities that have been given to us, this door of utterance to reach out, even over the border, Father, as a congregation. How good that you've been to us. We want to hear, Father, of how that has been used of God. We want to pray, and we ask, Father, that we might hear of souls been saved through the radio broadcast. We're conscious, Father, we're to walk by faith and not by sight, that it's not always your will and way to show to us and reveal to us all that you are doing. But we want to pray, Father, give us those handfuls on purpose that Ruth received in the harvest field of Boaz. Thou that art the Lord of the harvest, we pray that you'll drop those handfuls on purpose, even to each one of us, every faithful servant of thine in this congregation, in their various departments of the church. Lord, we need those encouragements, those indications of how the work is being blessed and being used. But we want to pray, Father, even in the midst of these days in which we're found days of apathy, that the lukewarm spirit, that Laodicean spirit of which the Saviour spoke in the book of the Revelation, Lord, help us to be faithful to thee. The exhortation of your word is that we're to be faithful unto death, and you'll give to us the crown of life. We're conscious there's times and circumstances that you bring us through to test us and to try us. And Lord, we pray for grace to pass that test to your praise and to your glory. Remember your servant Enoch, even in those ungodly days of which Jude spoke that Enoch lived, and yet he was a man that walked with God. And Lord, that's our desire, our burden. It is our prayer in this dark end time age in which we're found, that you'll enable us all to walk day by day, even with our Saviour. Lord, bless that special meeting in Macrafelt on Friday evening, as your young servant is ordained and installed for the work of the ministry there in the church in Limavady. Put your hand upon the meeting. Put your hand upon our brother as he takes up his labours. And Lord, we're conscious that our land tonight is in need of an army of preachers sent forth in the power of God, the anointing of your Spirit. We pray that you'll send more young people into the Whitfield College of the Bible. We pray that you'll send more men for the ministry. Send, Lord, more men and women for all of the works, the mission work at home and abroad. Lord, we're conscious that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray, the Lord of the harvest, that you'll send forth laborers, even from our midst, here in the congregation in Armagh. Bless the Reverend Nelson and all the lecturers, all, Father, that they do from week to week in the academic side of the work of the college. And we're praying, Father, for the planning application and the plans to build those new facilities at Tandragee. May it be conscious, Father, that the good hand of God is resting upon all that is taking place there and all that is being planned, even for the furtherance of the gospel witness in coming days. So we ask you just to hear our prayers and our cries. And Lord, abide with us, and may we know the quickening and the enabling of your Spirit. We pray that you'll give utterance tonight in the ministry of your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together in the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Genesis. I want to read from two chapters of the book of Genesis. Genesis 10, first of all. We'll read from verse 6 down to verse 14. It's one of the more challenging passages or portions of the Word of God to read. You'll see that as we work our way through it. So we'll read from Genesis 10, verse 6 down to 14, and then we'll read the opening verses together of chapter 11. So Genesis 10 and verse 6, let's hear the word of the Lord. And the sons of Ham, remember Ham, the son of Noah, so the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim. Mizraim is the Hebrew word for Egypt, so it's just been transliterated here rather than translated. So Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Rama and Sabteca. And the sons of Rama, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Notice the repetition of the statement in the one verse, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The repetitions of the Bible are there for emphasis to drive home the message to us. And it says in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech. That name, Erech, is the word that the modern name, Iraq, the modern name for the region of Babylon, came from. So it says the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar, again, it's another name or another way of describing the land of Babylon. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah. The same is a great city. And Mizraim, remember the Hebrew word there for Egypt, the Ames, there's going to be a list of them here, I am at the end. The Aim is the Hebrew plural. And Mizraim begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Naphtahim and Pathrushim and Kishlohim, out of whom came Philistine. The Philistine, of course, the Philistines, and Kaphtorim. The Kaphtorims, they reckon, came from the region of Crete, and they are closely connected with the Philistines as well. That's an interesting study in itself. So chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Just to point out, the words may reach, they're in italics. They've been added to help give the sense by the translators, but remember, you can take those words out. So literally, the statement is, whose top unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord coming down is divine intervention. What happened at Babel was one of the greatest examples of divine intervention recorded in the scriptures. So the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. We'll end just there this evening, praying that the Lord will add his blessing this evening to this, the public reading of his word. We give a sincere and warm word of welcome to all that have gathered tonight. Thankful for your presence. We're glad to see all that have been able to join us and to support the gospel service tonight. Remember the importance just of the evening service, especially in the seeking to win souls, bring them under the sound of the gospel. So we thank all that have been able to come. We welcome those that are watching on our live stream as well. We appreciate your support, that you're able to join the service in that manner also. Remember, please, the meetings in this incoming week. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in the church hall downstairs, the next meeting of our church committee. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek service, and I hope to be here to lead and preach at that service myself. Do remember the LTBS TV recordings. There's going to be 3 nights of that in this incoming week over in the Lurgan Church, in the will of the Lord. The 7 o'clock recording is generally conducted without a congregation. Then there's a congregation present for the recordings at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So I'm preaching at 7, the one without the congregation to begin with. The Reverend Brian Lorimer from Clock Mills is preaching at 8, and I will lead that service, and then I'll preach again at the 9 o'clock service later in the evening. So keep that all in mind. We value your prayers. As I said this morning, there is an urgent need for folk to sit in the congregation. If you can come across on Thursday night, particularly for the later two, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, there is the list in the porch. Put your name on that as you go from the service tonight. We'll pass that on to the folk at LTBS, and it'll be a great help to them as they're preparing for all of the recordings, particularly on Thursday night. Remember the special meeting convened and conducted by the Presbytery Friday night, that's the 29th, this coming Friday evening. It is the ordination and installation of Mr. Matthew Higgins to the Gospel Ministry and as the new minister of the congregation down in Limavady, to be held in the Macrafeld Church. And we want, as we have a connection with the family, we want to encourage as many from the congregation as possible to go down and give their support to that special meeting on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 1st of May, all of our meetings at the usual times in the will of the Lord. Do remember the half hour of prayer before the evening service. The preacher next Sabbath day, Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist with the mission board. He's been here with us many times, laboured with us in the gospel in many meetings. I know that you always enjoy our brother's visits and his ministry. So do pray for Brother Noel as he comes, that the Lord will use him in your midst. Remember, as we go down to Mourne to conduct the services there, next Sabbath day we have to speak at the senior Bible class before the morning service as well. So we do value your prayers for those meetings next Sabbath. Keep in mind Tuesday the 3rd, our outreach is recommencing for the summer. The outreach team meeting here at the church at 7:30. The plan for the summer is to go out on the first Tuesday evening of every month, right up until the month of September. We're very thankful for the work that our brother Billy McCrum does on the outreach team, how diligent that they've been in going around the community, all that have been involved in that. There has been a disruption over the COVID period, as there has been with quite a few of our outreaches. So we want to encourage you to get involved again if you have been involved in the outreach team in the past. If you've been praying about an opportunity to serve the Lord, we want to encourage you to join and get involved in the outreach team, the outreach work as it recommences again. Speak to our brother Billy about that as soon as possible. Remember, Wednesday the 4th, Wednesday week, we're having a visit from two of the Kenyan pastors, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Patrice. The board has wanted to bring these young men across for the missionary conference to be held in Lisburn, just to encourage them give an opportunity to better introduce them to the congregations and the people here in Ulster. Pray for all of the arrangements, the visa arrangements and so on, for the travel for these brethren, that everything will fall into place. Make that meeting known even to others outside this church, even folk from our other neighbouring congregations. If you're not a regular attender on a Wednesday night, we'd be glad of your support. We'd like as many here as possible just to hear the brethren as they come and to encourage them with a good congregation. So do keep that in mind. That's Wednesday week. Thursday week, the 5th, just to remind the brethren, is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church. Remember, LTBS's quarterly magazine is available in the porch. And to highlight again that the new charity shop that LTBS opened here in Armagh in Thomas Street, that ministry commenced yesterday. If you have opportunity down in the city centre, go in and give your support to it. Remember the missionary conference, the cards that the board has produced, that's from the 7th to the 14th of May in the Lisburn Church that has been kindly granted. So all the details of the missionary conference are on the card. There's copies of that card available at the doors, both doors of the church as you go from the service tonight. We sympathise with Alan Nicholson, Alan and his family, on the death of Alan's uncle, Mr. Robert Smith. Robert was Alan's late mother, Mary's brother. He passed away very suddenly, unexpectedly, in the Mater Hospital in Dublin on Thursday evening. And Alan was very close to his uncle. The funeral service was this afternoon, so we want to commend our brother Alan and the family to you all for your prayers, your prayerful support, just for these very sad and difficult days. Remember too, your young brother, Kieran McParland, it was actually his grandfather that passed away. The funeral service was yesterday. Difficult circumstances for our young brother, so we want to sympathise with Kieran too, just at this time, and we commend him and his family circle also to you for your prayers. We're going to sing some of the verses of 153, just to prepare our hearts, to guide our minds as we come to the scriptures tonight. Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected and by the few enthroned, but soon He'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, leaving out the third verse. So 1, 2, and 4, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
The crying day is coming.
Turn to the book of Genesis and the 10th chapter. Just to mention too that Miss McAfee did receive a negative test at the end of the week, the two negative tests that are necessary. She's very, very pleased about that, as you can appreciate, an answer to prayer, thankful for the prayers of the Lord's people for her through the last week. For 10 days or so. So the Lord willing, she will recommence her deputations. Her first meeting this incoming week is down in the Cumber Church. So she wants us to thank you for your prayers. And remember, sister, the Reverend Baxter sent us through a message. They're sort of coming into rainy season out there in Uganda. It was quite wet, wet overhead and wet underfoot. But he said they had a very good number, a very encouraging number out at the service at Emmanuel this morning. So we want to keep our brother and sister in our prayers as well. It's amazing how time has gone on. They will be 5 weeks there tomorrow. They had gone down to Kampala, to the capital at the start of the week. There was a wee bit of electrical work. Mr. Baxter, before going into the ministry, trained and qualified as an electrician. So there's a wee bit of work that the electrical team left with him to finish up that they hadn't time or opportunity to do, some supplies he had to get. So he's been working through those things, always keen to get involved in the practical side of the work as well. So we'll seek the Lord together just in prayer. Father, we thank you for your hand upon our sister during this past week, for prayer that has been answered. We're mindful, Father, of all our missionaries, all that are connected with the church here. Mindful of our sister on home and furlough just at this time, as she journeys around the churches, the meeting that she's testifying at and speaking, reporting this evening. May she know the help of God just now, even as she will speak at that service. Pray that she might be used even of the Lord. And Lord, we're asking that you'll abide with us as we draw nigh to thee in prayer. It's our prayer and desire that you will draw nigh to us. Thank you for all that are gathered in the service this evening. Each one, thank you for the children, the young people too, that are gathered with us this evening. Lord, bless all of these little ones of the congregation. We remember they've said, if we train up a child in the way it shall go, well, it's old that will not depart therefrom. Give to all the children of this church a love for the house of God and a burden for your word and a desire in their hearts to do those things that are ever right and pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, we want to pray that they might be used in days and years ahead, even to carry this work on, to strengthen this testimony, to carry on the witness of the gospel in this city and in this whole district round about. May the power of God come down now. We confess, Father, that we need it. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We ask you just to grant it to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Genesis 10, I'll read to you again the verses 8 and 9. It says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord." So we want to think tonight about Nimrod as a picture of Antichrist. I'll do this study over two Sabbath evenings as I looked over the material this afternoon I recognised, realised there was too much to bring in one meeting, so we'll bring the study in two parts. Can I emphasise to you, I know that some of you like to read, and we want to encourage that. The Bible says we're to give attendance to reading. It's good to engage in private study yourself. Arthur Pink, who was a very able Bible commentator, many of his books and writings still available to this day. We'd encourage you to purchase those, to read them. He has a very thorough and comprehensive study on the subject of the Antichrist. My understanding is it cannot be purchased new, so you'll have to look for it second-hand, either in the shops or on the internet, but it is very worthwhile, very valuable to have. So we're thinking tonight of Nimrod as a picture of the Antichrist. Can I emphasise to you at the beginning, you think of the Trinity as one of the great fundamentals of the faith, one of the great fundamental doctrines, the truth of three in one, three persons, but one God. And as you think of the Trinity, let me remind you tonight that the devil is the master of counterfeit, and he even has a counterfeit Trinity that will emerge at the end time. That counterfeit Trinity must be described as a false and an evil Trinity. That counterfeit Trinity is made up of the devil himself to take the place of God the Father, the Antichrist to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the false prophet to take the place of the Holy Ghost. So the devil's counterfeit Trinity. And it is the second person of that evil Trinity, the Antichrist, or the devil's Christ, that we want to look at in this meeting and then in the will of God in a couple of Sabbath evenings time again. Can I point out to you, emphasize, as all the purposes of God center and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, so too all the purposes of the devil, especially at the time of the end, will center on the person of the Antichrist. And the emergence of the Antichrist, this sinister character, is something that we're warned about. It's something that we're clearly told about, instructed about in the Scriptures. We're told that it's something that we must watch for at the time of the end as the Lord's people. Think of Paul's words to the Thessalonian believers, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Isn't it interesting? He says, "Let no man deceive you." That would indicate or infer that Christians can be deceived on this matter, especially relating to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So it's very clear, even from that one statement of the apostles, that this is something that we're to watch for as the Lord's people. It's a key event in Bible prophecy. And let me make it clear that the Bible has much to say, be in no doubt of that tonight. The Bible has much to say. That study of Arthur Pink's in itself, if you get that book, you will see that that is the case. The Bible has much to say about the Antichrist. This is a dark theme. The Antichrist is a dark character. But we are not left, brethren and sisters, we are not left in the dark about the Antichrist. We're not left in the dark about who he is, about what he will be like. We're not left in the dark about when he will arise and some of the things that he will do when he arises at the time of the end. Can I remind you that there are two main ways in the Bible that we're taught about the Antichrist. One is prophetical, that is the prophetical scriptures. In other words, by direct prophetical utterance of the Word of God, both in the Old and in the New Testament scriptures. For example, think of John's words, "Little children, it is the last days," or the last time. Remember, the last time or the last days began way back in the days of the New Testament, the time of our Lord. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. That's a very interesting, very key, very important verse. There's a contrast. He says there, even now there are many Antichrists. So there are many forerunners, many who will be like the Antichrist. But at the time of the end, there's only one person, one character who will stand out as the Antichrist of Bible prophecy, the Antichrist of the last days. Some people ask about men like Vladimir Putin, even in the light of all that's happening in the news at present. Is he the Antichrist? And the answer is no, he's not. But he falls into that category of the many Antichrists. He's one of the forerunners. He displays many of the characteristics of the Antichrist of the end time. So the prophetical scriptures, like this one in John's epistle, give many references. They give many details of his life, the Antichrist's life, and the Antichrist's character. But as well as prophetical, we're also taught about the Antichrist in a typical way. Can I ask you to keep in mind, when you read and study the Bible, that most men in the Old Testament scriptures are types. They are pictures. They are types of one of two men. They are either a picture of Christ, our Savior, or they are a picture of the Antichrist, either God's Christ or the devil's Christ. So from the characters and events of the past, we have a warning, and we have a message, and we have a picture all about the future. Isn't that interesting? God teaches us about from the past, the characters of the past, about a character, a very evil and sinister character in the future. So Nimrod, the man that's before us this evening, is one such character from the past who is a picture of the Antichrist. Can I stress, he's not the first person in the Bible who is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. There are others, like Cain. Cain was the first. And Lamech, they were types of Antichrist as well. Remember I mentioned to you this morning that series of studies by Dr. Cook. He went through a number of the most prominent characters in the Old Testament who were types of the Antichrist. So others like Cain and Lamech were types before Nimrod. He's not the first. But Nimrod stands out for this reason, as one of the first examples of the devil's attempt to raise up a world leader or a world ruler, as he did there at Babel. So if you think of Cain, you see that God warned of this evil character. God warned of the coming of the Antichrist right from the very beginning. Remember, he's the first picture. He's the first type. So right from the very beginning of time, this is something that God has taught about, and it's something that the Lord has warned of. But Nimrod is a very clear foreshadowing of Antichrist. There's much in his life that teaches us of what sort of person Antichrist actually will be. And I want us to consider some of those pictures, some of the similarities between Nimrod and the Antichrist, some of the details in his life that teach us more about what the Antichrist will be like, when he will arise, and some of the things that he will do. So let me emphasize, first of all, his personality. Can I remind you, I did highlight it briefly in the reading, this man, Nimrod, was the great-grandson of Noah, and he came from the evil line, the branch of Noah's family that was under the curse. Through Ham and Canaan, all of these foreshadowings of the Antichrist, they come from that evil line in the scriptures. Now remember, we highlighted this morning, let me do it again tonight. The Bible names, biblical names, are very significant. Biblical names are rich with meaning and instruction. The name Nimrod only appears four times in the Bible. twice here in the book of Genesis, and then once each in the book of Chronicles, and then in the book of Micah. So just four times you'll find the name Nimrod in the Bible. Not spoken of very, very much, but the name itself tells us a lot about this man. The name Nimrod means rebel, or let us rebel. Now just think, that's the name his parents gave to him. That's what his person, what his parents named him at his birth. Imagine giving your child a name that meant a rebel. And that's the way that this child, this young man, was brought up. He was brought up as a rebel. He was a man that had a lawless history. And let me remind you that we see the Antichrist there very clearly. The Antichrist in the book of Thessalonians is called the Wicked One, or literally the full force of that is the Lawless One. So the Antichrist too will be a rebel. He will be a rebel against God, a rebel against God's truth, a rebel against God's will, God's purposes, and even a rebel against God's laws. So he was a rebel by nature. Rebel was the nature of this man, Nimrod. And you see that especially in two ways in the details recorded here. Think of his ambition. If you notice chapter 11, verse 4, he says there in the middle of that verse, "And let us make us a name." Nimrod was very ambitious. He was a man that longed for fame. He wanted, above everything else, to make a name for himself in this world. And so too will the Antichrist. He will not be content to be among the great ones of the earth. The Antichrist, when he arises, will want to be the greatest one in the earth. It's not really, I mentioned here about Putin being a forerunner of the Antichrist. You see that characteristic in men like Putin. Not content to be among the great ones of the earth. Want to be the greatest person in history. Daniel said of the Antichrist, "And he shall exalt himself." That will be his desire. And that's taught in other scriptures as well. Places like Isaiah 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Antichrist will be a man that will have an insatiable egotism. He will be a great promoter of self. As in the gospel, God has given Christ a name above every other name, so too the devil will seek to imitate that in the life and in the ambitions of the Antichrist. And he will want the Antichrist to have a greatly exalted name in the earth. So you see his rebellion and his ambition, but you also see his rebellious nature in his attitude. The attitude of Nimrod was clearly one of defiance, but not just defiance of other men. His was the ultimate defiance, because he led men in their defiance against the God of heaven. If you look there at the words of chapter 10 and verse 9, I highlighted for you the repetition. We're told twice in verse 9 of chapter 10, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Notice the words in that repetition, before the Lord. So the literal force of those words is against the Lord. And that sums this man up. His whole life, Nimrod's whole life, was lived in blatant defiance of the Lord. He was a man who was against God. It's not a very fearful thing, a very fearful situation. And so too, men and women, will it be with the Antichrist. Daniel says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers." That final statement of that verse in Daniel gives us a hint that the Antichrist will be Jewish. "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers." But it's clear that the devil's Christ will live in brazen defiance of God. Those words, he will speak marvelous things against the God of heaven. The Antichrist will blaspheme. He will blaspheme the God of heaven. You think of the days of the judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It says there in that verse in Daniel that the king shall do according to his will. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Those will be the days of Antichrist. And is it not true? We look out on society, our land, look out on the world. We see those days are here already. They're beginning to arise very clearly and strongly all around us. But the Antichrist men and women will be the ultimate example of that spirit. Every man. He will be a man that will do that which is right in his own eyes. So a rebellious and self-willed spirit. And that defiance of God is the great tragedy of the whole story. It's the great tragedy of the whole story of Nimrod. And that defiance of God is the great tragedy of the whole story of Babel. What happened there all those many years ago? This is a story of great tragedy for two reasons. For one thing, the direction. Look at chapter 11, verse 2. It says, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. Can I remind you that the sun rises in the east? So the thought here is they were traveling away from the light. That was true geographically, but what was true geographically was also true of them spiritually. Can I remind you, it's a Bible principle that we've emphasized before. I want to stress it to you again tonight. Often in the scriptures, a person's physical condition is a picture of their spiritual condition. Think of Peter at the fire that night in the high priest's house. And he was cold, warming himself. It was a picture of Peter spiritually. He was cold of heart, following the Lord afar off. Maybe that's true of someone here tonight. Tonight you're a backslider in heart, need to be restored to fellowship with the Lord. Think of the woman at the well, that woman that was thirsty. She desired a physical drink, but she was thirsty spiritually as well. Think of Nicodemus, the man that came to Jesus by night, came in the dark. And he was a man that was in the dark spiritually. So a person's physical condition is often a picture of their spiritual condition. And that's the case here. They were turning their backs on the light, turning their backs upon the physical light, turning their back upon the sun. But they were also turning their backs upon the light of God, the light spiritually. And that's still true of this world, men and women. And sadly, it's true of this nation of ours. In an even greater degree as the days and weeks and years go by. Can I ask, is that true of you tonight? Can I put that question to the meeting tonight? Is your life taking you further and further away from God, away from the light of God? Is your life taking you deeper into sin, further away from the things of God, maybe brought up in a Christian home, brought up in a gospel-preaching church, but you've turned your back upon all of those things, turned your back upon the light of God? If that's the case, men and women, we want tonight to urge you earnestly and strongly to turn again to the Lord, and to do that immediately, to do it urgently. So I want you to see that this is a story of great tragedy because of the direction. They were going away from the light. It's also a story of great tragedy because of their disobedience. Remember, following the flood, the Lord said, he gave a very clear command, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the Lord's command at that time was for men to scatter, men to dwell over the face of all of the earth. But you look there at chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Notice the words, lest we be scattered. So Babel was built, the city and the tower. They were built in direct disobedience to God. clear and direct disobedience to God's will and to God's command to the people of the earth following the flood. This tower was built in defiance of the Almighty. It was a deliberate refusal to obey God's command. Maybe there's somebody here in the meeting tonight and you're doing the same. Can I ask you just to think for a moment, what is God's command to men and women today? Well, Paul gave it when he was preaching on Mars Hill in Athens. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So the question, men and women, for you in the gospel meeting this evening is, have you repented? Have you obeyed that clear command of the Word of God? Have you turned to the Savior? If you haven't, then we want tonight in this meeting to plead with you. Plead with you earnestly. Think of your soul. Think of its eternal destiny. Think tonight of the possibility of being lost for all eternity. And we want to plead with you to repent, to turn from your sins in this meeting. Do it this very day. So that's just something about the personality of Nimrod. Let me say something quickly about his power. If you look there at chapter 10, verse 8, it says in that verse, "And Cush begat Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth." Notice especially the word there, mighty. Four times. Can I stress, there's not much said about Nimrod. There's just a few details that were given of this man in the Bible. But four times in the few details that we have, he is described as mighty. So here's something the Lord has repeated over and over. Here's something the Lord doesn't want us to miss. He doesn't want us to miss or lose sight of this characteristic of Nimrod. He possessed, he displayed great power and great might. He was a man that held great sway on the earth in those days. And so it will be, men and women, with the final Nimrod. So it will be with the Antichrist himself. The book of the Thessalonians gives us this a very clear description of Antichrist. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So notice the words there, all power. The Antichrist is a man who will be marked by great and unusual power. We can even go further. We could take that a step further and say that he's a man that will be marked by supernatural power. Because notice the source of his power. It's not found in himself. The source of the Antichrist's power is actually satanic. Satanic in its origin. Paul said in that verse in Thessalonians, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The words there, after the working of Satan, it's literally the energy of Satan. So Antichrist, when he arises, he will stand out for this reason, men and women. This is one of the reasons that he will stand out. He will be energized by Satan himself. And that's a very solemn, that's a fearful thought, men and women. It's not just taught by Paul in the book of the Revelation. It's not just taught by Paul in the book of Thessalonians. It's also taught in the book of the Revelation. We have that same truth there in chapter 13. It says, they worshipped the dragon, which gave his power unto the beast. Remember that the devil is the dragon. We know that from the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We're told that the dragon is the devil. And the devil is the one who gives his power to the beast. In other words, the Antichrist. The beast is one of the names, one of the titles of the Antichrist that's found in the Word of God. So I want you to be in no doubt, men and women, the Antichrist is a man who will have power. The Antichrist is a man who will be energized. He will receive his supernatural power from Satan, from the devil himself. You think of Judas Iscariot. He is one of the greatest, perhaps the greatest, especially in the New Testament, pictures of the Antichrist. Some teaching on this study I actually think the Antichrist will be the reincarnation of Judas Iscariot upon the earth. I'm not touching that tonight other than to mention it to you for your consideration. But he certainly is one of the clearest pictures of the Antichrist in the New Testament scriptures, if not in all the Word of God. Think of what is said of Judas. We're told that at the time just before the Savior's crucifixion, that Satan entered into him. Judas Iscariot was a man fully possessed, fully controlled by the devil, by the power of the devil, as no other man was. And so it will be, men and women, with the Antichrist, completely controlled by the power of the devil. And Judas is a very clear picture of that. It's interesting that the word mighty that is used of Nimrod there, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. It's interesting that word mighty, it's also used of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I can give you one example of that. Isaiah 9 verse 6, a verse familiar to you all that we quote and hear read. You'll see it on your cards at Christmas time. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the word there, the Mighty God, that's the same word that's used of Nimrod. And the idea that's been set forth by the scriptures here is that Nimrod wanted to be like God, wanted to be like the Lord himself in his power. And so it will be, men and women, with the Antichrist. Can I remind you that the prefix anti is not just against. It certainly contains that meaning. It has that force. But the prefix anti also has the idea of in the place of. And the Antichrist, when he arises, one of his desires will be he will want to take the place of God. Paul said to the Thessalonians, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist will want to be like God. He'll want to portray himself like God in many ways, but especially in his power. So fix that clearly in your mind tonight. This is how he will want to present himself, how he'll want to portray himself to the nations of the world, particularly the nations of the Roman world, the old Roman Empire, what is known as the prophetic earth around the Mediterranean. This is how he'll want to present himself to the nations, godlike in his power. And one way that he'll do that is by miracles. Remember, it says there will be lying wonders that will be performed. Miracles that will deceive people. How you need to be careful, men and women, not to be deceived in spiritual things. Think of the awful consequences of being deceived about salvation and your soul going to a lost eternity. But the Antichrist and the false prophet working with him will want to deceive people by miracles, by lying wonders, to follow and accept the Antichrist and his new religion, and to lead them with him out into a lost eternity. I'm going to finish just there tonight. We've thought about his personality, thought about his power. There's at least three other things I want to emphasize. We'll do that this night, 2 weeks, in the will of the Lord. Can I close just by emphasizing this? Think of eternity, men and women, for a moment. And think of where you will be in eternity. Think of who you will be with in eternity. The Bible says of the Antichrist that he will be cast into the lake of fire. That's something that's very clearly taught in the scriptures. The book of the Revelation, chapter 19, verse 20 says, the beast was taken, remember that's the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the beast and the false prophet cast out into the lake of fire. And remember, men and women, that the Word of God teaches that
All the unconverted that stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment will be cast body and soul out into that same lake. That's a very solemn thought. Been cast body and soul out into the lake of fire for all eternity. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the question, men and women, in the light of that is this. Will you be with Christ in heaven, or will you be with the Antichrist in the lake of fire, lost for all eternity? I want you to consider that very carefully. As you consider eternity, where will you be and who will you be with? Will you be in heaven with Christ, or will you be in the lake of fire with the Antichrist forever and ever? If you want to be with Christ, you need to come to him in salvation. And we want to urge you to do that tonight. Heed the invitation. There's a verse in one of our hymns that says, heed the invitation, come and seek the Lord. And that's our desire for you. We want to plead with you to do that tonight. So just a little then, men and women. And the will of God will conclude the study in 2 weeks' time. But just a little of Nimrod as a picture of the Antichrist. We'll sing two verses of our closing hymn, 236, just two verses as time is going on. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh can it be, like a ship without a rudder on a wild and lonely sea. Just the first two verses and choruses, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Father, thank you for being with us tonight, for answering our cries, for your hand upon the meeting, the going forth of the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for all that you've told us. We thank you that you've told us not just about the past, but about the future. The book of Genesis tells us how everything began, and the book of the Revelation teaches us how everything will end. Lord, give us a deeper desire to study. Give us a greater understanding, and we ask of all of these things. Our prayer is that none here will die without Christ. Our prayer is that none in our families in this church will go to a lost eternity, that none will be cast out into that awful lake of fire for all eternity. Lord, give us a concern tonight, even as we think of that, for those in our families, those in our communities that still know thee not as Saviour. Go with us now. We ask that you'll guide us through this week and use us to your glory. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.